Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Approximately 6 billion people on this earth. 6 billion. Many environmentalists and zero population supporters believe that number is a shame and a disgrace. According to them, our globe cannot continue to support so many human beings. So we must devise a plan to stop the rapid growth of the human population. Although I believe the radical environmentalists are wrong, dead wrong, about the number of people our world can support, I have a suggestion that might help the situation. We need to build a distillery, a brewery, a winery, or a rum factory in every county in the United States. We should teach our young people and our older people to drink freely of these mind-altering, death-dealing drugs. That way, they will kill themselves on the nation's highways and in occupational accidents. That would not eliminate all the population problems, but it would be a start in the right direction. Currently, about 200,000 Americans lose their lives every year from tragedies related to alcohol. They are either killed by drunk drivers, or by acute alcohol poisoning, or by cirrhosis of the liver, or by a drunk father and husband who beats his child or his wife to death. The radio stations in Nashville recently reported that the city of Nashville has one of the highest rates of deaths from drunk driving in our nation. Of all the cities in America with a population of over 100,000 people, Nashville ranks fourth in the number of deaths from drunk driving. All four major cities in Tennessee, Memphis, Nashville, Chattanooga, and Knoxville, ranked high among American cities. Could that be one of the reasons some people refer to Tennessee as the Whiskey State? Can you explain to me what the churches in Tennessee are doing about this abominable situation? Are the preachers afraid to speak out on the evils of strong drink? Would some churches fire their preachers if those preachers did vigorously oppose the manufacture, the distribution, and the retail selling of strong drink? If you think otherwise, ask your preacher why he does not condemn beverage alcohol. Ask your elders or other leaders what would be their reaction to strong sermons on drinking and selling liquor. On July the 15th, 2001, I preached a sermon on this radio program on Pritchard's Rum. In that lesson, I mentioned seeing on public television that Mr. Pritchard was working on getting a rum factory in operation here in Lincoln County. The small operation in Kelso, Tennessee, was apparently having difficulty getting started. But according to news reports I have received, the devilish factory is now open and producing death-dealing drugs, drugs that kill thousands of people every year and cripple many more. It is hard to believe that the good people of Lincoln County would allow within their midst a product that will kill their children, destroy their homes, and contaminate the very atmosphere we must breathe. I have a question I must ask you today. What motivates a man to build and operate a business that is so destructive? Could it be that Mr. Pritchard believes that rum and other alcoholic beverages will strengthen the homes of America? I wonder if he knows, or if he cares, that 50% of all divorces are directly related to strong drink. As you know from your reading and from observation, divorce is one of the greatest evils in our nation. Not only does divorce directly affect the husband and the wife, it almost always permanently affects the children of divorce. Some of the children never recover from the effects of their parents' divorce. A 70-year-old man in Knoxville, Tennessee, told me that he still ached over his parents' divorce. His parents had divorced many years before he talked with me. Does any of this have a bearing on Mr. Pritchard's conscience, assuming he has a conscience? Perhaps Mr. Pritchard is motivated by his desire to help the children of Lincoln County, of the state of Tennessee, and of the United States. Millions of children as young as 12 are already heavy drinkers, and some at age 14 are alcoholics. Thousands of our young people are drinking and driving. The truth is, that most single car accidents, whether by children or by adults, are caused by drinking. Does it matter to Mr. Pritchard that his rum will lead to the death of some of our young people, not only because they will kill themselves, but because they will be killed by other people drinking his rum? To deny that fact is to be as ignorant as sin and as hard-hearted as Ahab and Jezebel. Is it possible Mr. Pritchard believes his rum will improve the atmosphere of the community and the state where his rum factory is located? Does he know that 50% of all serious crime is committed by people who drink alcoholic beverages? Although alcohol is not a sexual stimulant or a stimulant of any other kind, it is actually a narcotic. Drinking leads to many incidents of rape and sexual battery. Men who normally would not harm a woman may do so under the influence of strong drink. When they are drinking, they often lack the good sense that would prevent their mistreatment of the opposite sex, including their own daughters. There is not even the slightest doubt that drinking is a precipitating factor in incest. Does Mr. Pritchard approve of sexual assault in incest? If he has done any reading on the tragic consequences of strong drink, he knows I am telling the truth. Will these facts influence the people who manufacture, distribute, and sell beverage alcohol? Not likely. Not only does drinking lead to sexual assault, rape, and incest, it contributes to other problems within the family. Some men drink so much, their wives have to get jobs to pay for groceries and for other necessities. Drinkers are often strongly devoted to their pursuit of beverage alcohol. Their wives and children must take a back seat to their drinking. The parents' devotion to strong drink may absorb all the family's money so that the children lack adequate clothing and food and have no money for college expenses. Is drinking rum of such overriding importance that the family means so little? If you think I'm exaggerating, you have not done your homework. Investigate the ravages of strong drink. You will find some very disturbing information. That is, if broken lives and broken homes disturb you. Some men who drink, but certainly not all, create an atmosphere in the home that is conducive to unhappiness, anger, and bitterness. For example, think of the man who comes home drunk and creates disturbances with his wife and his children. Some drunks are loud and abusive. Some criticize every move their wives and children make. Some embarrass their wives and children in public. They either want to fight or they want to hug everybody. And what is more disgusting than a drunk who wants to hug everyone? Can you imagine the feelings of the child whose drunken father has acted like an idiot in the presence of the child's friends and associates? Does Mr. Pritchard think his rum will make men act more sensibly and more responsibly? Maybe, just maybe, Mr. Pritchard thinks his rum will improve the physical welfare of those who are foolish enough to drink it. I wonder if he knows the damage alcohol, whether in whiskey or wine or beer or rum, does to the human body. When one imbibes alcohol, the alcohol goes immediately to the brain. Whatever affects the brain has an adverse effect on the other organs and functions of the body. If one drinks rum long enough, the drinker will suffer permanent brain damage. Dr. Spickard Anderson and Barbara Thompson's book, Dying for a Drink, What You Should Know About Alcoholism, provides this troubling information about drinking. Years of heavy drinking have depleted the alcoholic supply of thiamine, a vitamin necessary for growth and maintenance of nerve tissue, and his brain becomes diseased and shrinks in size. Two of the most common forms of alcohol-related brain disease are Wernicke's syndrome and Korsakoff's psychosis. Wernicke's syndrome is often reversible by injections of thiamine. Korsakoff's psychosis puts the alcoholic on skid row or in a nursing home, pages 48 and 49. Does Mr. Pritchard want to contribute to these devastating conditions? His rum will unquestionably do so. There will be people on skid row, in nursing homes and in graveyards because they drank Pritchard's rum. I welcome anyone attempting to deny those facts about drinking. For a number of years, Dr. Robert DuPont, Jr. served as drug czar of the United States. His outstanding book, Getting Tough on Gateway Drugs, A Guide for the Family, provides an enormous amount of information about marijuana, alcohol, and cocaine, the so-called gateway drugs. A few brief excerpts from Dr. DuPont's book should be eye-opening for anyone who wants his eyes open on the damage alcohol does to the human body. Once in the bloodstream and past the liver, alcohol has powerful effects on most other organs of the body, including the brain, lungs, heart, kidneys, and pancreas. In the brain, alcohol begins by depressing the highest brain functions first, those of the frontal lobes, those having to do with the individual maintenance of values and self-awareness. With higher intakes of alcohol, the drinker's judgment, decision-making, and reaction time are all adversely affected. In still larger doses, alcohol depresses the more primitive brain functions, including, ultimately, if the quantity is large enough, the breathing center, thereby causing breathing to stop. Since marijuana suppresses the brain's vomiting center, it is possible that people stoned on marijuana may, when also drinking large amounts of alcohol, not vomit before they pass out. Pages 108 and 109. My wife and I are well acquainted with a family who lost their only daughter in the way Dr. DuPont described. She drowned on her own vomit because of her use of marijuana. Marijuana, incidentally, her only brother had given her. When alcohol and marijuana are combined, there is an increased risk of death. Tragically, our culture is sending the message to young people and to older people as well that alcohol and marijuana are relatively harmless drugs. This is a false and deadly message. One mother in the city of Nashville, Tennessee, lost her son to strong drink. She said she and her husband had taught their son about the dangers of the illicit drugs, but they had not thought of teaching him about alcohol. Alcohol is by far the most addictive of all drugs and the most deadly. Is Mr. Pritchard ignorant of these facts, or does it matter that thousands of our young people are dying every year because they use alcoholic beverages? Does he think that adding rum to the equation will somehow reduce the death and destruction brought on by strong drink? The chances of any reduction by additional alcohol are slim indeed. A few more excerpts from Dr. DuPont's book should be enlightening and disturbing. The brain function of alcoholics who have been addicted for 20 years is often noticeably and permanently impaired. One brain-based effect of alcohol consumption is decreased ability to drive safely. Memory is impaired after very modest levels of drinking. Alcohol crosses the placenta to reach the unborn baby. Alcohol enters the mother's breast milk. For pregnant women who consume 3 drinks of alcohol per day, there is a 10% chance that their babies will be born with fetal alcohol syndrome. The risk rises to 33% if the mother imbibes 6 drinks per day. Pages 109 through 111. Dr. DuPont says there is no safe level of alcoholic intake for pregnant women. Do these facts disturb Mr. Pritchard or the people of the Jack Daniel Distillery or at George Nichols Distillery? Do any of them care that alcohol causes about 240,000 premature deaths every year in our nation? Only tobacco leads to more premature deaths in America than alcohol. That's from Dr. DuPont's book, page 12. Do you understand now how an increase in the manufacture of rum in our county will aid the zero population people? Just in case the facts and figures I have given you seem so impersonal, I shall give you an example that ought to make all of this very real. Ted Martin Morris, the only child of Frank and Elizabeth Morris of Hopkinsville, Kentucky, was driving home at night from his Christmas vacation job at United Parcel Service. Ted was just 19 and a freshman at David Lipscomb University in Nashville. Bob Stewart's book, Revenge Redeemed, says that Tommy Pickage had drunk a couple of cool beers, then several more beers at lunch, perhaps a few slugs of whiskey during the afternoon. He could then make it until he was back home and could get down to some serious drinking. Page 18. Tommy Pickage killed Ted Martin Morris, not because he wanted to kill him, but because the alcohol had taken over his life. If that occurs with some of Mr. Pritchard's drinkers, and it is bound to, will that bother him? Or will he just say that it is one of the unintended consequences of making a mind-altering, body-destroying, family-disrupting, and community-contaminating drug? Only time will tell, and it will tell. My decision to discuss Pritchard's rum operation was prompted by a letter I received early in January of 2002. I have no idea who sent the letter, since there was no person's name attached to it. Nor do I have any idea why the letter was sent to me. But the letter included an article from the Tennessean, dated December the 24th, 2001. The title of the article was, Whiskey State, Now Home to Pritchard's Fine Rum. The article tells of the building of a rum factory in the tiny town of Kelso, Tennessee. Pritchard's operation sells 80-proof rum. That means the rum is 40% alcohol. In case you're thinking that rum is like beer or wine coolers, you need to rethink your opinion. Rum is as poisonous as many of the whiskeys and vodkas that are sold in America. It is a very dangerous drug. So what is Mr. Pritchard's motivation in building this sleazy and dangerous business in our midst? One word, and only one word, can answer the question. Money. So what if children, young people, and older people die from acute alcohol poisoning, or from being run over by drivers who are irresponsible enough to drink Mr. Pritchard's 80-proof rum? What possible difference could it make so long as the manufacturers make money? Just keep the money rolling and the undertakers busy. The truth is, unscrupulous undertakers ought to make a sizable contribution to Pritchard's operation, to the Jack Daniel Distillery, and to the George Dickel Distillery, the places that make, distribute, and sell alcoholic beverages are probably the undertaker's best friends. The scriptures have much to say about greed. In our Lord's parable of the sower, Jesus spoke of the deceitfulness of riches. Matthew 13:22. Our world is full of people who believe that money makes the world go round. If they get just enough money, whether through gambling, through making and selling death-dealing drugs, including alcohol, or through immoral business practices, all will be well in their lives. They can eat, drink, and be merry. But those people are deceived, badly deceived. Please listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things which he possesses. Luke 12:15. The Apostle Paul wrote, "They who will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." 1 Timothy 6:9-10. Is Mr. Pritchard consciously aware that making money through the manufacture of alcoholic beverages will lead to heartaches and other tragic consequences? Does it matter to him that lives will be altered forever because they drink his rum? While I was preparing this message for broadcast on our local station and on other stations across Tennessee, the Tennessean, Friday, February the 8th, 2002, published an article with the title, "Drugs, Alcohol Lead to Teen Sex, According to a Study." Joseph Califano, president of the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse, addresses the following words to parents of teenagers. Whatever you believe, if you believe in abstinence, and the moral imperative for teens not to engage in sexual relations until they get married. Then they have got to understand the relationship between drinking and drugs and encourage them to avoid drinking. If you believe sex is the inevitable rite of passage for teens and you want them to have safe sex, then get through to them that drinking and drugging certainly put them in situations where they will have unsafe sex. Page 14A. The survey examined two age groups, teens from 15 to 17 and young adults from 18 to 24. The survey discovered the following facts. The percentage of teenagers who say their peers drink or use drugs a lot before having sex is 54%. The teenagers said that those not using drugs or alcohol before having sex probably amounted to no more than 1%. The young people were asked, did you do more sexually than you planned because of drugs and or alcohol? Almost one-third answered in the affirmative. They were asked if they had engaged in unprotected sex because they were drinking or using drugs. Almost one-quarter of the young people said yes. The young people were then asked if they were worried about sexually transmitted diseases because of sex while drinking or using drugs. 28% answered in the affirmative. Do you now understand why so many children are born out of wedlock and have to be supported by the American taxpayer and have to be reared by a single mother? Should I send the article from the newspaper to Mr. Pritchard? Does he care if millions of American teenagers drink alcoholic beverages that virtually destroy their lives? How very unfortunate for the children who have to be reared in single-parent homes. I do not know, and it may not even be possible to know, how many children have to be reared by single mothers because the woman and her partner engaged in sexual activity while one or both were drinking or using other drugs. But the numbers have to be staggering. Mr. Pritchard's rum operation will contribute to this tragic situation. To deny that fact makes absolutely no sense. None of the people involved in making alcoholic beverages will deny what I have said. So just how hard-hearted are people who cause so many moral and spiritual problems? Before our time expires today, let me furnish two more flesh and blood examples of what alcoholic beverages do to people, even good people. Do you remember how the Bible describes Noah? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Genesis 6, 8, and 9. The New Testament says concerning this same man, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hebrews 11, 7. Surely there is no way that alcoholic beverages could corrupt this good man's character. The Genesis account says, Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunk, and he was uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brothers without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, and laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Genesis 9, 20 through 23. Can you believe that a man who walked with God would behave in such an abominable manner? But that is what rum and other alcoholic beverages do to people. Drinkers so often lose their good sense and act stupidly. Do the makers of strong drink bear any responsibility for such conduct? The book of Genesis also records the drunken behavior of Lot, Abraham's nephew. After Abraham and Lot had parted ways because of the conflict among their herdsmen, Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom, a tragic and near fatal mistake. Because of the unbelievable wickedness of Sodom, God rained down fire and brimstone on the city and utterly destroyed Sodom, Gomorrah, and the other cities of the plain. Genesis 19, 24 and 25. The Apostle Peter provides further insight into what occurred. God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those who after should live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. 2 Peter 2, 6-8. How can a man whom the Bible calls righteous get drunk and engage in incestuous relations with his own daughters? That, my friends, is what alcoholic beverages, all alcoholic beverages, including rum, do to people who drink them. Please listen to the divine record. And Lot went up out of Zoar, and dwelled in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. And he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelled in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed unto our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us also make him drink wine this night also, and go in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bore a son, and called his name Moab, the same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bore a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Genesis 19:30-38. This is not a very appealing story, although absolutely true, but it shows what alcoholic beverages will do when people have little enough good sense to drink them. Please join with me in seeking to eradicate strong drink from the very face of the earth. My friends, we thank you for listening. If you have questions or comments, I shall be delighted to hear from you. May God continue to bless and keep you.